Om Shanti. I don't know if everyone knows me, but my name is Luciana, and I live in São Paulo, in Brazil. And I've been in Gyan since the beginning of 79. Brazil, it was the first country that Baba's knowledge and Baba's centers started in South America, Latin America, I should say. And Brother Ken arrived from Australia, and now after these 33, 34 years, it's a beautiful thing to see that all the countries, at least in South America and most of the countries in Latin America, have Baba Center. So when this morning Sister Mira asked me to conduct class and asked me for the topic, I suggested a topic that I've been thinking quite a lot lately. The topics related to the understanding of drama. The topic that I made is accept the reality as it is to be happy. And at the moment I've been thinking a lot about this because I think that in our spiritual journey, we go through many phases. And a way to show that we are maturing spiritually is that we progress, we could say, in a horizontal way. We start to feel interested in understanding more things and more people and the things how they are. But also the horizontality of our progress shows how much we are applying the gyan, the knowledge that we have been receiving. And I think also that the maturity that happens on a vertical way shows that from time to time we see with more depth, with a bigger understanding, the knowledge that we have been already listening for some time. Like, for instance, every time we listen to one of Baba's Murlis, we get a different feeling, we get a different understanding. And we could say that there are three main dimensions in the reality. And these three dimensions are the soul, God, and the drama. And the way that I started to relate with these three dimensions have been quite different from time to time. This season in Madhuban, I've been participating in a small group of experiences. In fact, we were just four sisters that would get together every morning after Amritvela to have an experience related to these three dimensions. And one of the aspects that we have been practicing is that when we say we are a soul, or I am a soul, it is like there is a gap between I am a soul. It seems that I am, but the soul is something there, outside. So I'm trying now to see it differently. I am not a soul. I soul. I am. Because in fact, the I is the soul. There is not one I and one soul there. So it seems that it's a very slight difference. But in this slight difference, there is a lot of change in the way that you see yourself. Because you don't make the soul as an object, but you make the soul as the subject. You, what you are, what I am. In the same way, the relationship with Baba. Since some time I've been questioning myself about the unlimitedness, the greatness of God or of Baba. And last year, I suggested that a small group of people come together to explore the subject of who is God and our relationship with God. So 12 of us got together in Greece with Brother Anthony Strano, and for 3 days we just explored this topic. And this has been one of my ways of constantly renewing my enthusiasm in the spiritual life. And at this moment, I've been experiencing a lot of pleasure in investigating spirituality and myself in these small groups of people who are very mature in knowledge, people that we are like alike in terms of very different people, but alike in terms of the same interest and the same depth in terms of exploring the knowledge. And so we have been creating many of these groups, small groups here and there. So these have been two experiences that lately I've been having. And this exploration of who is God and the relationship with God, I have been passing through many phases. When I came into Gyan, I was previously Catholic, very staunch, very strong Catholic. And then when I was 18, I started to practice yoga, and I became a Hatha yoga teacher at the same time that I went for university. And when I discovered the Eastern concept of God as energy, as omnipresence, and all that, gave me such a feeling of how vast is God, and that created a lot of interest on me. But then when I came into Gyan and I was introduced to Brahma Baba, and I was introduced to the fact that Brahma Baba was the medium of God, in the beginning I react a lot. I couldn't accept. I said, no, another Jesus in my life, I don't want. You know, now I know God in His universal form of light and energy. How can I accept that He comes just in one person? But after some time, as I understood the knowledge, and especially what made me to come close to Brahma Baba, it was the understanding of drama. It was the understanding of time, the understanding of the confluence age that helped me to understand and to accept the role of Brahma Baba. So I feel that the understanding of the drama or the understanding of reality probably is the supreme understanding. Because the understanding of the drama makes everything to go on its place. But recently, since some time now, I've been going back to the previous experience that I had. God as being light, God as being universal, God as being non-physical. But now this understanding is completely different from the understanding that I had when I was 18. Because now this unlimited experience of God is not something just like theoretical. It's not a concept. We are very good in having and creating concepts. We are very good in doing that. In fact, there are many more people better than us in doing that. There are many scientists. There are main sages and philosophers who are very good in writing and thinking and proposing many ideas about the reality. But what I feel now, when drama is what links the soul and God and the other people and the reality, is that everything has its proper place, because there is the moment, the time, the presence of experiencing this. So at the moment, I really respect the courage and the speciality and the uniqueness of Brahma Baba's role. But I think that now that we have to serve the whole world, and especially the whole tree of all the religions, and I think that the fact that Baba didn't come last 18 of October is a sign of this. It's for us to be more and more subtle, more and more avyakt in our relationship with God, and less dependent on what Baba does when he comes. I liked very much what Brother Anthony Strano from Greece said in one of his classes, that one sister from Greece told him, I like to come in October, because in October we can pass in front of Baba on the stage. So he asked her, so you need to come to Madhuban and you just have once during the whole year to be in front of God? I thought that we were supposed to do this every day. So I think that this is the lesson that drama is giving to us. Drama is showing us, well, you are not learning into the easy way. Maybe we can give you some harder way to learn. And so drama is just like our friend, helping us to be more subtle, less physical. So when I've been experiencing this understanding of drama, I started to position myself, and I realized quite a few things. One of the things that I noticed is that there is not such a thing as the outside. There is not such a thing as the drama in a way. The reality is that we see everything and we feel everything according to how we see and how we feel. In fact, people and situations and the weather, they are like they are. But what makes reality for me is how I feel and how I experience. What are my thoughts towards that situation? When I experience any kind of discomfort or any kind of suffering, what is happening, in fact, is that I am creating thoughts and I am creating feelings of discomfort about that situation. That situation is not giving me that feeling. That person is not giving me that feeling. But it's my own interpretation of the situation that is producing what goes inside of myself. And if we understand that, I think that it's the only way that we can come out of our prison, our internal prison. Because if we understand that any suffering, any experience of fear, any experience of pain is in fact an attachment that I have in relation to some person or a situation. Attachment is not, it's nothing to do with the person or the situation, but my feelings and my thoughts towards the person and the situation. And this is attachment. Attachment is an experience that I create inside of myself to satisfy myself, to fill up the empty space in myself. So it's not the other person that it's going to fill up my emptiness, but it's the belief or the interpretation of that person that will fill up the gaps I have in myself. In Portuguese, which is the language that we speak in Brazil, we have quite many musics that speak about this. That there is nothing better to finish with the suffering of having lost a love than finding another love. And people believe that it's the love or the other person that it's fulfilling myself. But in fact, just this line of the song shows that it's not the person, but it's my expectations towards the other person that creates a feeling of satisfaction or frustration inside of myself. So if the reality is like it is, why do we believe in the stories that are created inside of our heads? Because we are our own storytellers. There is no one there telling us the story of our lives. We create the story of our own life according to the vision that we have of reality. We are also the projectors of what is happening in our life. So, is there anyone here that is not liking the way that his or her life is happening? Because what is happening there, it's just the reflex of what I have here. So instead of trying to change reality, instead of trying to change the other people, why not to change the stories that I'm telling to myself? Because what is there is just a reflex. In all senses, if I have many friends, if people like me, if people don't like me, if people complain about me, if I don't have money, if I don't have good health. In fact, everything is the reflex of what I'm living inside of myself. Naturally, that it's not that easy to change the reality completely, because since so long you have been telling you these stories, that takes some time for your cells, for instance, to respond in a different way. I can give you an example. And the only example that I can give is about myself. I cannot give examples of other people. And some of this understanding has also happened to me, because I also have been investigating some things that happen in my life. And one very specific thing that I've been investigating in the last year or so is about why I am so obese. Like, Per knows me for 30 years, right? And Per remembers that I was very, very slim. That's good. So how it happened that I put up so much weight? Okay, you can come with many explanations. I'm not doing exercise, or I'm not doing sufficient exercise, and that's a fact. My diet has a lot of carbohydrate, and that's a fact. Okay, my mother and my grandmother, they were obese. Okay, that's a fact. It's genetic. But I don't think that it's all about that. I think that there is something in my obesity that is a creation of myself. Why I am creating these walls of fat that don't allow me to create intimacy with people. I've been investigating that. Because at the moment that the fear of having to come close to people will disappear, I'm sure that my fat will disappear. I will not need a wall anymore. So I've been investigating this. Any of you have any kind of personal investigation that shows you that you have been creating your reality? Have you have any experience, maybe in terms of money, that I can give you another example? When we started service in Latin America, very few BKs used to come to Madhuban. And they always had this mantra in their minds. We are a poor country. We don't have money. Our minimum salary is very low. It will require the money of whole year without expenditures to be able to save to come to Madhuban. So very few used to come. And I remember that in 86, Daddy Junkie came once to Brazil. That was her second visit to Brazil. And we had a beautiful retreat of Rocky at that time. And when she saw so many Brahmins, many, many Brahmins there, and she said, why all these Brahmins don't come to Madhuban? And we told her, because we are poor, because our country is poor. And then she said, nothing like that. It's because your consciousness is pure, is poor. You have the consciousness of being poor, so you don't attract wealth. And she started to work with us, and we started to work to change that kind of belief. And it was amazing how it changed. Every year, a big number of souls come. Like this year, we were 43 or 44 just now. So it's really, whatever you believe, you make reality just like a reflex of all your beliefs. So if you change inside, then your reality will change. And that's probably the only way that we have to help people to change. Is there anyone who had the experience of changing someone, trying to control them? No. We know that the answer is no. So if you know that your thoughts and feelings are not going to change the other person if you try to control them, I ask you, is this a sufficient good idea, or is this a sufficient good explanation for yourself to leave that thought and feeling? Another way to put this question to yourself is, if I change my feeling or my thought, can I, with this new feeling and thought, improve my reality? Because I believe that it's very wise if you are always doing this kind of investigation to yourself. Because the knowledge or spirituality is not about listening to the Murli. It's not about just listening to classes. That's a method, but that's not the end. The purpose of knowledge and spirituality is to make yourself more pure and more elevated. So you can ask yourself, the Murli that I heard today, or the Murlis that I have been hearing for all this week or this month or these years, have been helping me to become more elevated, have been bringing me to soul consciousness? You can ask yourself, how many times you have been to Madhuban? Have your trips to Madhuban have been bringing you to be more elevated? Or you just come to Madhuban for sightseeing and for relaxation and for holidays, which is not bad. Which is not bad. But it means that you could go for holiday to another place. Probably a more beautiful place than India. Maybe a more comfortable place than Rajarishi in Gyan Sarovar. So if you come to Madhuban just for holiday, or just because you feel that you have like a responsibility or an obligation to come to Madhuban, if your trips to Madhuban are not helping you to move forward and to move up, so what is the purpose of coming to Madhuban? So because these are all kinds of beliefs that we have to investigate, and if we are experiencing any kind of pain or any kind of suffering or any kind of discomfort as a result of all our feelings and thoughts, it's because we are not changing ourselves. We are not improving ourselves, but we are trying to change outside of ourselves. So one of the experiences that I say we because we know that all of us act most of the times out of the ego and not out of the soul. And the ego is very smart in cheating us. The ego creates very good press release to us. Which kind of press releases the ego create? To justify, to give explanation, to prove ourselves. The ego tries to show that that's very rational. The ego tries to show that that's very logical. All are the ways of ego to lie to ourselves, to make us away from our subconsciousness, our reality. So, ego doesn't allow us to see the reality as it is. But what the law of karma tells us? The law of karma says, nothing can happen that it's not in your destiny. Nothing can happen that you haven't created. Nothing can happen that you are not the responsible. So, why do we believe in the press release of ego? So, this investigation helps us to come closer to soul consciousness in a very different way. Because some people think that soul consciousness means just to think, I am a soul, I am a soul, I am a soul. Or they say, the soul is washing the body, the soul is... Okay, it's a way, but like I said in the beginning, as you become more mature, these are like childish ways of relating to the soul. More mature way, more advanced way, is for you to investigate your own reality. Because then you are going to understand and you are going to see how much you have been experiencing soul consciousness. Because if you would be experiencing soul consciousness, you should be happy. You should be successful. You should be having a good relationship with people. You should not have complications in your life. Okay to have complexity. The world is very complex. But complications just come out of body consciousness. So, if you see your reality, it's like a photograph of your stage of soul consciousness. So, when you see your photograph, or the photograph of your life, are you happy with it? Or you would like it to be with a different color and different shape? So that shows how much you have been progressing spiritually. Also, something that I see in my interaction with many Brahmins, friends, juniors, even seniors, to me, that in the spiritual knowledge or in the Brahmin life, it seems that there is a taboo. And this taboo says that you have to have harmony at any cost. And I'm not saying that I'm right, but I just want to express my feelings. I don't believe on that. I believe that harmony that sacrifices integrity, it's not real, true harmony. True harmony, you cannot sell your integrity. You cannot sell your values to have harmony. True harmony doesn't depend on liking something or liking someone. Real harmony doesn't depend on agreeing with someone. Real harmony, it's a more elevated kind of state. It's a higher level that doesn't depend on a fake kind of peace. And I see quite many people that because of harmony, or they want to have harmony, but because they are sacrificing their integrity, they feel frustrated. They develop a lot of diseases because they have to put many things inside. They lose their spontaneity. They don't say, they don't express themselves. They lose the simplicity because they create so many complications inside. Then they cannot be like they are. I can tell you one story that happened with me last season, not this season, but when I came in February here. One day I went to meet Ladji Junkie with two or three sisters, I don't remember, that they had to receive their badges, their teacher's badge. And Daddy Junkie was at that day in her Kali form. No, because some of us who know Daddy for many years, many decades, know that Daddy, you know, some days are more like Shitla, and some days she's more like Kali. So this day she was in her Kali form. Kali means the goddess Kali, powerful and forceful. And so I was with these two sisters, and Daddy was like, and give me a big sermon. I'm not going to give the reason, the moment, because, I mean, that was what she was, and it's okay. So I just listened, at the end she gave the badge. So next day in the morning, I was translating upstairs. I was not visible. And Daddy was reading the Murli, and she kept asking, where is Luciana? Where is Luciana? And I told the brothers and sisters from Brazil, can you tell Daddy that I'm translating? So someone said. So after the Murli, I came down, and I went to meet Daddy at the back of the stage. And Daddy was extremely sweet with me. She was very sweet. Probably she was remembering me or calling my name because she knew that the day before she was very forceful. So I told her, Om Shanti Daddy, good morning. I was translating and so on, and she was very sweet. So I jokingly said to her, Daddy, today you are in your Shitla form. The goddess of sweetness, the goddess of serenity. But yesterday you were really like Kalia, and she laughed and she made, you know, those kind of giggles that Daddy does. But the Indian sister who was with her said, you cannot speak with Daddy like that. I said, why not? I'm just saying good things. What I want to say is that for having harmony, you cannot lose your naturality, your spontaneity. It's not because someone is a senior, or it's not because someone is a big person, that you have to be different from what you are. You have to keep the respect, you have to keep your good words, you have to keep your refinement, but you still can be natural. And this is something that I find it very important for us to deal with reality. Because sometimes it's our fear of the reality that doesn't allow us to be spontaneous, doesn't allow us to be like we are, to express ourselves. So this is also something that I find it very necessary. And why sometimes we lose our spontaneity and naturality is because we lose we want the approval of the other person. And to want the approval of someone, it's the proof that I'm not being so conscious. I'm not experiencing to act, to relate with the other person from my soul. Another thing that I also have been investigating is that most of the experiences of stress that we have is because we don't accept reality like it is, as it is. Reality is not going to change because you don't like it. Reality is not going to wait for your opinion. Reality is not going to change just because you would like it to be different. And I was investigating that one of the reasons that we regularly experience stress is because we have a kind of fixed theme. Not we, but sometimes we do have. This person should be like this. This situation should be like that. Or we say, this person shouldn't have done that. This shouldn't have happened. How do we say that? If it had happened, it was because it was supposed to happen. If it was not supposed to have happened, it would not have happened. So if it happened, it was because it was reality. It was the truth. Maybe I'm not saying that I like it. Maybe it could be like on a more elevated form. But I cannot say this should not happen. Because if it happened, it's because it should have happened. Okay, I can change my way of thinking, I can change my way of feeling, I can change my way of believing, I can change my way of acting so that in the future my reality changes. But I cannot say that someone has done something wrong or that some person has said something wrong. Because if it has happened, it was because it was recorded on drama. And so much stress we face because of this. We could be liberated of a lot of stress if we just would accept the past as it was. I remember that there was someone who lived with me in the past. And of course, we all are moving, all of us are progressing, and I'm sure I have done so many things in the past, even in the Brahmin life, that were not the best, were not the most spiritual, was not the most elevated. So I must have said or done something for this sister who lived with me, that 10 years after, she was still carrying so much sorrow. And I thought, you know, like so much waste of time and energy and opportunities because she didn't accept the reality or even she didn't clarify afterwards with me. So, how could we live? We, in all the centers, we have this stress-free living life courses. So maybe we can include this topic that one of the biggest way to experience stress is of not accepting the reality. Also, I was investigating how much resistance we have in accepting reality or accepting the people like they are. And I was observing that the reason for this is that we have been using the habit of manipulating people and the reality to get the things we want. A way of manipulating people is to express anger. Because we express anger, the other person might buy from me that attitude so that I don't feel angry anymore. The person will behave the way like I want. because if they don't do or they don't behave like I want, I feel angry. And because they have fear of my anger, then they behave the way I want. So this is manipulation. Another way of manipulation is to make the other people to feel, or the other person to feel guilty. To inflict guilty feeling on other person is a way of manipulating. And this manipulation is how we have learned in life that we get the things we want. And this creates a lot of resistance inside. Resistance to the way things are. So this resistance creates a kind of illusion in ourselves. A kind of illusion that I will get what I want if I do like that. And all these behaviors is in fact a way of avoiding us to be happy. We can get what we want, but we don't get happiness through that. Because that's not truth. That's not the truthful method. That's not Baba's method. So I've been paying attention that in the Brahmin life, it's very important to follow the Brahmin protocol. Not externally, but internally. It's very important to use Baba's method, because this is the only way that we can have real happiness. Another way that we try to change reality is trying to interfere on other people's lives, telling people how they should be, how they should behave. Okay, if I know better what the other person should do, so who is going to be living my life when I am trying to live other person's life? Who will do that? If I leave my seat to live the other person's life, I leave a space that it's vacant. So who is going to occupy my role, my position? And so many times we do that. We keep this dialogue inside of how the other person should be doing, how the other person should be reacting, what the other person should be selecting. So this is a kind also of ego and arrogance that we do many times. And some time ago, I liked very much one very simple story that I heard. All these stories about sages and kings and so on, that reflects for me very much some of the feelings that we experience here in Madhuban. Because in Madhuban, many people come to me and say that, you know, like, the way that they see some of the things are wrong, because there is not criteria, who sits in the front, and who gets the golden ring, and why this one got this and got that, and so on. And, you know, I listened to this story that was very good for me to accept the reality. Even apparently, it seems that that person doesn't deserve to be in front. Even if apparently it seems that that person doesn't deserve to have that golden ring. Even if apparently that person doesn't deserve to have that position, then I ask you, is there anything that happens in reality that it's wrong? So everything that happens in people's lives, they deserve. Nothing that happens without any merit. The only difference is that sometimes we see the merit, it's obvious. And sometimes we don't see the merit. Maybe they have done in an incognito way. Maybe they have done in past lives. So who am I to say that someone deserves and someone doesn't deserve? But the story goes like this. There was a king and he had two sages. And one of the sage used to all the time please the king and would do everything that the king wanted. A little bit like the story that I was saying, he would sacrifice his integrity to have the respect and the love of the king. He would buy the love. He would buy the position from the king, just being like the one who was always adulating, satisfying the king. And the other king, the other sage, used to think, I'm here just to offer some wisdom, some instructions, some advice for the king when he asks me, but I'm not here to adulate, to just try to please the king. So this sage that always was with the king and was always invited to eat with the king, used to have better accommodation, used to have better food, used to have better clothes than the other sage. So this sage came to the other sage and said, why don't you do the same as I do? Pleasing the king. Look my clothes. Look my room. Look my food. If you would please the king, you would not have to eat just lentils like you do. And the other sage answered, if you would have learned how to eat lentils, you would not have to please the king. So I think that shows a bit about reality, and our time is over. So I might conclude here that soul consciousness, God consciousness, and the full acceptance and understanding of the drama is what makes us happy. But especially the understanding of the drama. Not just the understanding intellectually, that the drama has four ages and the drama has 5,000 years, but the real understanding of the drama, it means to understand, to experiment, to accept that reality is supreme. Reality is always perfect. Reality is always beneficial. And if I'm not experiencing all that benefit now, it's because I have not been accepting that I have created my own reality. And if I understand and accept that, that will give me the enthusiasm, the courage, and the strength to change my situation, to start to create a new reality from my present, from my moment, so that I can love, I can enjoy my reality tomorrow. So I know that there is a big group of Brazilians who are listening to the class in Spanish. And I know that there are not many translators, but still, if we can open for maybe two questions, if someone wants to ask something, and I can briefly give my point of view. Do you feel that reality is always beneficial? Do you feel inspired to accept reality as it is? Do you feel that you can eliminate from your vocabulary and your dictionary the word should? How do you feel? So, yeah, just one person there at the back. I think that he was just adjusting his... okay,